still have these 300 mile per hour finger breaking, no answers looking back. Good against a beast done and busted up, empty cup, torrential outpour blues. One thing's for sure in that graveyard, I'm gonna have the shiniest pair of shoes.
Winner of the Spirit of College Radio Award, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
This show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College. Not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
IMPEC, every fourth Tuesday, 12 noon. Learn about people and organizations making a difference in your metro community. Get information on newly formed organizations seeking a change. Get updates from current organizations and people who are working to reach the need and concerns as well as serve. Join me every fourth Tuesday at 12 noon on IMPEC.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Third Tuesday Impact. I am your host, and by the way, I am Missy J. Once again, how are you doing today? I want to say hello to my wonderful family at the Dearborn Rouge plant for four. Also want to congratulate all the new DJs that did a wonderful job at this year's Concert of Colors. Also continuing to send our prayers up for Carl Carlton, artist, Murray Wright alumni. He suffered a minor stroke a couple of days ago, but his wife said he is doing well. He is talking and he's alert. So let's keep those prayers up. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Michael Fuqua, and he has a lot of knowledge and history about the music business. He's going to share with us within this hour. So without further ado, I would like to bring my guest on. Good afternoon, Mr. Fuqua.
And to you, Brenda, good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm miserably well.
Okay. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's been long overdue.
True.
We've tried numerous times, but three times is a charm. And I finally have you here. So tell us about yourself and what you have been doing and what you have done in the past and what you are doing for the future.
Wow, that's a very difficult thing to answer. What I'm doing presently, I'm working with writers and producers, creators of music, and publishing management with Micro Management. What I do is I work with people who create music, the people who write the songs, the music, the lyrics, and I'm helping them with their intellectual property with Micro Publishing Company. There are a lot of artists or writers who create music but don't know how to protect intellectual property. One of the most recent changes in copyright law is the being allowed to be able to copyright clothing designs. That took place 2017. Up until that time, clothes were not able to be copywritten. You could do a trademark, service mark, and patent. But as far as a copyright for clothing, it was not possible. So as of 2017, you can copyright your clothing designs. And I'm working with clothing designers and helping them secure the copyrights of their clothing. One of them, the people I'm working with, one of our clients is Alexandra Turner. She's a fantastic clothing designer, and we're in the process and have been copyrighting her clothing styles. Copyright is something very important that people should learn and know about. And 90% of the people don't copyright their work. They feel that it's not needed, but it's very, very needed.
Okay, I've learned it's very important to protect your brand. And I see a lot of problems going on where, like you said, people don't copyright their work, be it their music, be it things they have written. It could be books, songs, artists who have drawn pictures. Do you work with young people to tell them the importance of copywriting?
Generally, no. Someone has to be referred before we speak with them. And without referral, we won't talk to anyone. This is for several reasons. One is not to honestly be truthful, not to waste time. A lot of people have their own minds made up what should and should not be. So when you're spending your time with people who think they know everything, you just don't. So if someone comes with a referral, we know if they've spoken with somebody and that person has felt that they're reasonable enough, logical enough, that they should talk to us. So I just don't talk to anybody at random. I just want to go back and say something real quick. Pictures are protected by copyright, and a lot of you all may find this crazy, but also dance moves are protected by copyright, can be protected by copyright. So there's a lot of things you may think are not possibly protected by copyright or intellectual property rights are eligible to be protected by copyright if you're doing the necessary work. But getting back to the question, I will only talk to people if they've been referred. If they have not, there's a good chance I won't talk with them.
Okay. I have the pleasure of hanging with you this weekend and yesterday. And I was amazed because you know so many people. Yesterday, Sky Covington, and she has been a friend of WHFR. She performs at Baker's Keyboard Lounge. And then she's the founder of Hug Detroit, where she tries to send out love and positive vibes, which are really needed in Detroit. My question is, how did you know so many people in the industry?
Okay, I will have to blame that on my parents.
Oh, okay.
Lois Richardson and Harvey Fuqua, I have to blame them. And I have to blame it on my other relatives, the Gordy family.
Okay.
My dad married Barry Gordy Jr.'s sister, Gwen Gordy Fuqua. And so I've been blessed and with being able to have multiple families. And having multiple families and people taking you under their wings, you wind up meeting a lot of people. And it gets to be a lot of names, a lot of faces. And I wind up absorbing it all, getting it all coming. So that's one of the reasons why I know so many people, because of them. I can remember someone told my dad, "Your son know too many people." I'm going like, well, he's the reason why I know too many people, okay? don't put that on me. So it's because of my family. But also, it's my work. My work required me to meet a lot of people. So being in the performing arts, I've met a lot of people because of my work. I had my own promotional companies, and by having my own companies, you wind up meeting a lot of people.
Networking is important, and I want to thank you for introducing me to different artists and musicians. Is music your first love?
No.
Okay. Could you expand on that answer?
I wanted to be a school teacher. I wanted to teach American history, and I wanted to also be a lawyer, forgive me.
Oh.
But I wanted to either practice criminal law or be a school teacher, and I put an emphasis on being a history teacher. The pull in music, I just didn't have any. I think about getting involved in music. I had thoughts about being in the military, joining the Navy, and then I realized that my thoughts about wanting to join the Navy was just fallacy. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought it would be something great, but I realized that it wouldn't be what it would be. So I just wound up getting involved in music, and it started again with my parents, and then it started with me working on Motown Review. I remember watching the artists come to the studio and rehearse, and they were determined that I would go to work, and I started working on Motown Review, and that's how it started. With my dad.
Okay. Did you travel out of town with the review?
No, I didn't. I was too young at the time.
Okay. What exactly did you do for Motown?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Well, I ran errands, which was really fun because I earned money running errands, going to the store and to the restaurant. So I was like an errand guy, and from running errands, it was determined that I would learn about public relations. And so I learned about public relations. I got fired from my job. My Gwen Gordy Fuqua fired me.
Oh, no.
My mom fired me. She fired.
Family. What?
I mean, I couldn't do the job. I was supposed to read. I was reading, but I was missing stuff, and that showed a lack of attention.
Okay.
And so I was fired.
Okay. Well, I see, and I've heard there's a lot of love on 2648 West Grand Boulevard. Was that true?
When I came up, they had a studio in Tenantwine.
Okay.
And a lot of artists came there because there was a studio there for them to work. And within the city of Detroit, it was on Tenantwine and Farnsworth. And so a lot of my contact was there because the artists could come there and work, would come there and rehearse and do whatever they need to do to go on the road. So I would spend more time that was home than going on the boulevard.
Okay. So there was another studio?
Yes. It was, I would call it a rehearsal studio.
Okay.
But that studio, there was no recording there, but that was the studio where the artists came to work in the routines. Matter of fact, that's where the album, What's Going On, was created, with Marvin Gaye, Lynn Barney, Mel Farr, Johnny Bristol, Harry Fugle. It was created there. It started right there on Senate Mine and Farnsworth.
Wow. Now, I still feel that you can be a teacher because I learn different stuff from you every day, especially not just the business aspect, but the historical aspect. You have a lot of knowledge, not just with Motown, but with artists, period. Do you want to talk about some of the artists on your record label? And thanks for bringing in music from your artists on your label. Do you want to talk about some of these artists?
Yeah, I will. The artists are, I'll start with Nico Red. She's a neo-soul artist, jazz artist, and she likes rock and roll. The thing about the artists that I have, majority of the artists are self-contained artists. That means they're able to write their lyrics and perform the music and create the music of their material. And they're talented outside of the music. Nico's a fantastic cook. She spoils me. And she also is a manicurist, if I'm using it correctly. So she's talented, multi-talented. Luciano is a classical trained violinist who plays with a hint of blues. Carl Leitz is inspirational music and gospel music in North Carolina. Javante is a jazz EDM guy, electronic dance music guy. Now, Javon is somewhat neat because when he plays, he also, when he's spinning records, he's also playing at the same time. And you have very few DJs, not that many, that actually, while they're spinning records, playing the keyboards and singing. And he also has vocalists working with him when he's performing.
I caught him when we went by the TV lounge.
Yeah.
He on Grand River in Detroit. He's excellent.
And then you have Alzana Turner, I'm sorry, who's a clothing design person. She designed clothes. We have Jay Fierce, who's working with Charlie Wilson. And we also have Audrey Childress. She's based in Washington, D.C. But right now, we have Concede Records in Concord, North Carolina, DJ Switch the Game. On the label, we have my mom, Dolores Richardson. My mom is deceased.
Okay.
Heavy blues and gospel. And those are just some of the artists that we have on the label. We also have a guy by the name of Mike Freeman who has a track called Hey Detroit. The thing about Hey Detroit, it allows us to go back and re-record it in changing times. In other words, every 2 years we can change the track to update it. It's a song that allows people to get an idea of Detroit by saying, Hey, Detroit. It tells about the mayor, the city, and all the beautiful sights they have in the city of Detroit. So Hey, Detroit is a multi-purpose song that allows to change the lyrics as time goes to keep it updated.
Okay. We also had a conversation that you encourage your artists and musicians to have other outside talents as well. And you've already explained that some of your artists, manicurists, clothing designer. Is there a particular reason why you encourage them to have outside gifts and talents besides music?
There's no benefits in the performing arts,
okay.
Period. There's none at all. No healthcare, no nothing. So I ask all artists, I suggest all artists to get a second job. It doesn't matter if from bartending to bar backing, from cooking, selling clothes, get a second job. Get a job to maintain you until you have financial success. And what's the point in getting financial success? You still should have some employment, bringing money in so you can have something to retire on Social Security. Just because you make $1 million 1 year doesn't make you go make any more money like that again. So financial responsibility is very important. And so I lead by example. I got a job. And they said, Michael, you got a job. Why are you working? Because I need money. I need to have some benefits. Okay? So I got a job. And my dad had a job. Every person in the performing arts who make money, they have jobs to create companies. They put themselves on a payroll, and they work for the companies to get a paycheck. We do the same thing. We create companies. We work for our companies to allow us to put something in Social Security so we can have benefits. That's why it's important. Now, some artists have a spouse that are willing to take care of them until they have financial success. Well, that's far and in between. So I recommend to all artists to have employment. If you're an upcoming artist, get a job. Okay? And don't spend your money buying Nikes, okay? Don't buy Jordans. There are billionaires, if you look at Bill Gates, Alibaba, Mark Zorn, you watch what they wear, they're walking around with $10 t-shirts on and $40 gym shoes on. These guys are billionaires, so why are you spending so much money on clothes stuff? Okay? The money you make, you should be invested to pay your utilities and your rent and look out for your health care. So this is why, Taurus, there's no need for you to spend that type of money because it's not necessary. Now, when you have it, that's different. And one more thing, too. The artists that you see, a lot of their clothing are given to them. And the clothes are given to them because what better way to market your clothing if you got an artist or ball player or a singer wearing your clothing?
Correct.
So then they get the clothes free while you're out there paying for them. You don't see guys buying $1,000 shoes or red bottom shoes for women. Those artists are probably giving those clothes more than likely. Then you go try to check your first check or your royalty check and buy a pair of $1,000 shoes. Come on.
I think I've watched certain artists, certain groups, that when they get that first big check, they run out and buy expensive gym shoes, expensive cars, instead of investing that money, because sometimes, you know, and we've done it, I've done it, when you struggle coming up, you say, oh man, I finally had this money, let me buy this. I think also it's a lot of times you trying to keep up, as the older people say, with the Joneses, trying to impress people. You know, a lot of artists, because their mother has helped them along the way. She's worked more than one job. First thing they say is, I want to buy my mother a house, which is nothing wrong with that. But what I'm hearing you say, and what I've always said, you need to invest.
Well, let me run some numbers by you, and
okay.
These are dated. You get a $1 million.
Okay.
So you go out and buy a $300,000 house. So that leaves you with $700,000. Have you figured out what the upkeep of that property is going to be through the years?
Right.
And are you paying cash for the house or what? But you got a $300,000 home, the upkeep. So you're already down to $700,000. Then you want to buy maybe four cars. On an average, let's say you want to spend $50,000 per vehicle. So four cars, that's $200,000. You already spent $500,000. Now, have you paid your taxes yet?
Right.
Okay. What about your management people have to be paid? You got a bunch of people that need to be paid out that $1 million. But the catch is, did you pay your taxes yet? Most people get the money and they'll pay taxes, and 5 years later, here's Uncle Sam with an arrest warrant.
Bye.
Sending you to court. Okay. It's a term that if you got $1 million, when you get the $1 million, take it, spread it out a 20-year period at $50,000 a year. So for the next 20 years, you know you got $50,000 a year coming in. Okay? You have that security. So if you're blessed and get another $1 million, then you go out there and splurge. But just make sure you pay your taxes. And that $50,000 that you spread it out, that $1 million, the first million you spread it over a 20-year period, you can, you know, you get that in your back. And the second million you get, you can go ahead and dibble and dab and have fun with it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I recently heard artists and musicians talking. I attended the State of Black Music at Burt's. And I was shocked, because I didn't know this coming up. I didn't know that the artists and musicians weren't getting paid every time their record was played on the radio. And I know it has been a recent fight for the artists and musicians to be compensated, along with the producers, arrangers, songwriters. Can you give me more information about that?
Well, first, I wanted to say thanks to John Carnes Jr. for fighting for a bill to have over-the-air radio, the major radio stations, to pay artists when their music is played over the air. But the artists, and I don't care who don't like them, so somewhat ignorant. The radio has told them, made a statement, if we have to pay you to play your music air, we won't play your music. Well, then don't play my music then, but pay me. So the artist was afraid if that bill passed that John Carnes had put out there, they would not get, made music wouldn't be played over the radio. Well, what a radio station going to do? Don't play no music? So he did all he could to make sure that artists got paid for their music playing on the radio. Now, we're referring to over-the-air, not digital or not digital music or streaming music. And the artists did not support that bill and fought against it. Now, when you go to a studio and record, it's a work for hire. And a work for hire means that we're going to pay you a flat rate for you to come in and play. So if that's done, then that musician has been paid in full, and he's not entitled to any money. So once you pay your artist in full, they can't turn around and say, well, I'm entitled to royalties, because you're not. And no one is going to pay an artist royalties. It doesn't make sense. So I don't support that. But you pay your musicians the union wages they're entitled to, and that's it. So you guys say, well, I'm playing on this record, I should get royalties. No, didn't they give you a check? And they say, yes, well, you don't get anything else. And you say, well, I'm not going to play. Well, believe me, somebody else will come in and play if you don't play. So the reason artists don't get paid is their fault, because they were bullying not to support the bill by John Carnes, which would allow artists to get money when they're playing over the air. I guess with the terms terrestrial radio, I'm getting things confused, but music being streamed or downloaded, they're being paid for. But far as over the air with Clear Channel or iHeart, those other stations, no, artists are not being paid, and that's their fault. Okay. So this has been going on for years. Now, something else that people are not familiar with, the Modernization Music Act. And people are not familiar with the ASCAP and BMI court decree, which goes back to 1946 and I think maybe 1901, where BMI and ASCAP under court decree would set the rates of how much they can charge radio stations and other people for using music. And the writers are the only people, independent employers, who monies are controlled by Congress. And that decree is there for it to come to an end to be or modify to allow writers to make more money. That's just not right, not fair. Again, this is something that artists and writers and producers are not fighting for, to end the court decree or have it greatly modified to fair competition. Secondly, there's something, a small claims court they're trying to create for small record labels and artists, where they can go to federal court and sue for copyright infringement and for other infringements that they don't have access to, because it costs so much money to go to court to fight someone for copyright infringement. With the small court that's being developed and somewhere in the House hoping it to pass, artists, writers, producers, and all music people should be fighting to create the small claim court to allow them to have access to federal courts in terms for copyright infringement.
Okay. Real interesting. I told you you should still be a teacher. We're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back with my host, historian, musician, artist, record label exec, you name it, Michael Fuqua. This is Impact, third Tuesday of every month. And I am Missy J.
Mm-hmm. This is Sam the Sax Man. Join me every Monday, 2 to 4 p.m. on WHFR 89.3 FM, where we go for a panoramic view of music. I seek to find the story behind the artist and maybe some history that even I or you have not ever heard of about a certain artist. From Mozart to Memphis, the Stone Age to the Stones, crooners, mooners, and sooners in June, I will do my best to bring you quality programming in the tradition of WHFR. Please tune in every Monday, 2 to 4 WHFR, and you can live stream us off of our website. Thank you.
Tune in every Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on 89.3 WHFR.FM for the Music Soul Box with sassy, sultry, and soulful R&B music. So join me, Sunny D, right here on the station, making waves.
This show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College. Not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
Impact every fourth Tuesday, 12 noon. Learn about people and organizations making a difference in your metro community. Get information on newly formed organizations seeking a change. Get updates from current organizations and people who are working to reach the need and concerns as well as serve. Join me every fourth Tuesday at 12 noon on Impact.
Okay, we are back with my special guest, Michael Fuqua, and we're discussing about music, the fine arts, the performing arts, and he is giving me and my loyal listeners a lot of knowledge and a lot of legal knowledge as well. Anything else?
Yeah, I'd like to go back about artists not being paid with their music being played over the air. Repeating, John Congress Jr. Wrote legislation so that the radio stations would have to pay the artists royalty monies for the music being played on the air. And the radio stations were saying that it would change the way they would play music, like they couldn't afford it. And the artists became frightened and didn't support the bill. Well, that was something that the artist should have fought for, saying, pay us for playing our music on the air. And they didn't fight it. So now they're complaining when they had the opportunity to support a bill that would have allowed them to get paid on the air. Would that bill ever be introduced? I don't know. But artists do have some responsibilities to help themselves besides just complain. Again, with this small claim court they want to create for musicians and independent artists and record labels to be able to go to a small claim court to sue for copyright infringement, there should be an uproar and demand for this. Now, also, there's something in the Millennium Copyright I don't like. It's called safe harbor. Safe harbor is where people are allowed to use other people's creation and not pay royalties and pay for it. I dislike safe harbor. I believe that if you use anyone's creative work, you should pay for it. You should pay them. But the safe harbor allowed people to escape that, like priorities. I won't call names of artists that openly record other people's material and then make money and then go claim safe harbor. It's just not right. This person, this artist, this writer, this musician worked hard to create this. And then you want to take it and have fun with it, make money off it, and don't want to pay them. It's wrong. I think the safe harbor should be abandoned. Now, who falls in the category of safe harbor? No offense, but you have the churches who want to use music. They make money but don't want to pay for it. That's not right. If you sample anyone's music, pay them. Don't argue the point. That's not right. Okay? You have professors who write about music and musicians. They use their music. They include their music in their books and their information, but they feel they shouldn't have to pay that artist. Well, why? You're using their stuff for you to make money.
Right.
Okay?
Do you think, so when people write books, and they write books, and like you said, they use the lyrics of songs, they don't have to get that songwriter's or the artist or musician's permission to put it in print, because you're putting it in print.
Well, they call that safe harbor.
Okay.
It's for educational purpose, but he's selling a book for $100, $50, or $20.
Okay.
That's not right.
Right. I agree, because when I attended that meeting, I found out that certain songs that I liked, I won't call the artist's name, but the artist and the songwriter and the musician are currently in court because they didn't get permission.
Again, it's a thing called safe harbor.
Okay.
And with safe harbor, they say, well, because it's educational purpose, religious purpose, we shouldn't have to pay. But you're making money.
What about these major corporations, these stores, these banks? When I look at TV and they're using music from an artist. I remember one artist, she was there and she was saying how she had to take a major corporation to court. I remember Fontella Bass had to take a major corporation. I won't call those corporation names, but they had to take them to court. It might have taken a while to get their royalties because they did not ask permission, even with using someone's image. Can you expand on that? Is the safe harbor, is that for these major corporations as well?
No, that's straight up thievery.
Okay.
When a corporation has to get a license to use your product, or you can use the term as a jingle, but they have to have permission and get a license to do that, and you negotiate it. And if a company doesn't do it, then they'll subject to copyright infringement. When that happens, it's either they don't know or the person who's running their music department or advertising company are not paying attention to what they're doing. So if you were a publishing company, your publishing company should be taking care of that for you. If you're your own publisher, then you may have to make some adjustments to probably make an administration deal, which is negotiable, for them to handle administration of your copyright. So they have to have permission. And again, there's a photographer who I won't mention his name. He is notorious for taking other people's work and adding something on it and calling it a new work. And he's been sued many a times, and he's been able to get away with it. So you have to be willing to work with other people who can help you protect your rights. Now, some people say, I want to be independent. And you ask the question, what's the difference between independent and a major? And they can't tell you. And there's a big difference of what one can do, because the same problems a major have, an independent have. You can be an independent label, but you have to be able to negotiate the best rates for you. And if you don't know that, then it's best for you to take time out to to learn and understand what's the difference between an independent and major, and just quit going by what you hear people say. And it has a lot to deal with fiduciaries and money. And I hear a lot of that, I'm going to be independent. Well, still independent. It don't matter. Okay, well, whatever. So you have to do that.
Okay. Now, I see a lot of activities are coming up to celebrate Motown 60. Are you involved in any of these activities?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason why, or you just choose not to?
I just haven't gotten active yet.
Okay. All right. I had one of your artists, and I want to get her back again, Luciano. She's brilliant, gifted, and talented. She's also a DSA, Detroit School of Arts, alumni as well. Do you know what she's been doing here lately? Because it's hard to catch up with her.
That's a good question. She's been all over the place.
Okay.
I just want to say a thing. I'm glad you mentioned Detroit Public Schools. For all you who don't know, at one time, Detroit had some of the best music teachers in the nation.
Yes.
And a majority of your artists who reformed went to Detroit Public Schools. And they just don't get a lot of credit. My artists, except the ones who are not living in the state of Michigan, all went to Detroit Public Schools. So Detroit Public Schools have produced many years some fantastic artists. And Detroit Public School System have not gotten the credit that it deserves.
Yes.
It's just not right. It's just not fair for the many, many people that have had success or are having success that came out of Detroit Public Schools.
Right. I know Paul Reiser had mentioned putting music back into the schools, not just certain schools, but all Detroit public schools, because we have a lot of young people who have gifts and talents, and it should be heard. I remember you mentioned the music teachers. I had wonderful music teachers. Juanita Coleman, which was the wife of Charles Coleman. Charles Coleman used to have a music school down the street from Northwestern High School. He once was also the minister of music at Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, the Beechwood and Milford campus. We also have our own, and I'm a Murray Wright alumni, we have Dr. James Tatum, who is still going strong, Brazil Denard, among others. Did you know any of these individuals that I named?
No, I do not.
Okay. So, Paul Reiser.
I know.
Yes, you know Paul Reiser. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's a Cass Tech alumni.
I don't know.
Regina Carter came out of Cass Tech. Donald Byrd came out of Cass Tech. We have so many wonderful artists. And then I met a young man this weekend. He is in broadcast media and journalism at Wayne State University. How did you meet that young man?
Billy Owens, the promotional queen. We were at the DIA having food. And I forget the name of the restaurant there. And she struck a conversation with him, and that's how it happened.
Okay. All right. Like I said, networking is so important. Do you have any major projects coming up?
No. What we're doing is we're changing over additional distribution deals that we have.
Okay.
And we're ending one and starting a new one. The distribution deals that you have or additional companies, a lot of them, they sound good, but when you start reading them, you realize they're not good for you. There are some companies that are on the internet, and some of them are frauds. They're fakes. And it takes time to sift through these different sites that are basically a fake. And what you have to do is do a follow-up. and there are telltale signs. So if someone says, oh, well, you pay us $5 or $30, we'll distribute you. It's really a fake company. And I can't call the names because I haven't gotten a legal determination if I can do so or not, so I won't mention their names. But there are websites, download sites, that are actually fraudulent and that they're taking your money from you. They're thieves. And so you have to be aware of these various companies, streaming sites that are asking for money. And usually the telltale sign if they're asking you for money.
Okay. Once again, thank you for bringing in these CDs of your artists. I'm going to pass these CDs on to our music director, Phil Mack, here at WHFR. And I want to encourage individuals, artists, musicians, record label execs, songwriters, if you have any music that is not being played anywhere else, you have a hard time, please keep in mind, we are college radio, so please don't send us anything with vulgar lyrics, a lot of profane language. Please send it to WHFR, 5101 Evergreen in Dearborn, Michigan, 48127. Attention, Phil Mack. We're really in need. Well, we accept all music because all music is beautiful and universal. But we are really in need of world music as well as R&B music. Would you like to touch on the state of R&B music right now? What's your thoughts about the new product that might be coming out?
Well, I don't know if I can say this, but you have music that's being creative users, and help me with my English, is sequencing music. Okay. And the secret music is pseudo music, false music. It sounds good, but it's false. And then you have the natural R&B singers. Now, sync music, it sounds good, but it's like fake music.
Okay.
And you have the natural singers. So you have a lot of that going on, and if you listen to something long enough, it becomes good to your ears.
Okay.
But when you hear something real good, it's unnatural, and you have to adjust to it, or you don't like it. And that's one of the things that's taken on. And so when you put these people who are using sync or equipment technologies to sing, if that mic goes out, they're in trouble. The show ends right there.
Wow.
So if you get accustomed to listening to bad music, that's what you're going to do, listen to bad music. And when you hear good music, natural music, you won't be able to appreciate it because you're used to hearing bad music.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to a lot of the artists, like the Ray Ward of the Fantastic Four, Martha Reeves, Martha and the Vandellas, Mary Wilson of the Supremes. They're still making music, but they're having a hard time getting it played. Do you know why?
Could you? For several reasons. And when you have to know your demographics and your environment.
Okay.
And where you're placing your material. And if you don't look outside of your normal perimeters, you won't get played. For instance, if you ever watch, is it Public Broadcasting, PBS?
Yes.
Well, there are artists that have sold millions of units of records, millions of thousands of streaming sites. You never heard of them. And the reason you haven't heard them because you were caught in a microcosm of a small cachet of music in one area. You haven't spanned to other stations, other radio stations that are playing music, like your station.
Okay.
People are missing good music, so they caught up in the main focus. But the people who know music, appreciate music, listen to your station.
Okay.
So your station is creating successful artists, and people are like, well, where they came from? Well, did you listen to Jay's show by any chance? Radio station here for a community college? Have you been listening to them? Well, there's other people. In this country, there are 330 million people. 60% is 19,800,000 people who are listening to music. And they're all not listening to the same radio station.
Correct. Correct.
So give love to College Radio, because College Radio is helping a lot of artists have success.
That's true. That's what I had to tell these artists at Burt's. I said, I asked them, because they were complaining about the major or one man said corporate radio. And I asked them, have you ever considered submitting your music to the college radio stations?
That's funny that you said that, because corporate radio has more than iHeart, some other stations have 1,000 different radio stations, and out that 1,000, maybe 205 or 175 play the same music to the same area, and the other radio stations are playing music to other areas. You have country and western, you have classical music, you have jazz, you have all these other music that's being listening to. So when you see these awards, you go, I never see them people before. Where do they come from? Because you sit in your ways of just one particular set of stations that you listen to. You don't expand. You don't go to your radio dial and seek other radio stations and other channels. College radio has been very important and a lot of success for a lot of people. So the artists should not get mad. They fail to explore the other avenues of radio.
Okay. Well, thank you for the support for college radio. Here at WHFI, we support local artists, local musicians, independent record labels, such as yours, and let them know, once again, what's the name of your record label?
MICUQU, Micua Records.
Okay, thank you. We support you. We support you. Our loyal listeners support you. So once again, get that music to us. Any closing thoughts? I can't believe an hour has gone by so fast. I'm going to have to get you back in this station.
I would just simply say is that talent works. I know that a lot of people, a lot of young ladies especially, want to pattern themselves behind Cardi B. Well, it's not going to work for everybody. You have Nicki Minaj, you have Cardi B. It's not going to work for everybody. You're never going to have another Nicki Minaj, and you're never going to have another Cardi B. So statistically, the odds of someone coming in, like you got 1 million artists, 2 million artists. It's not going to happen like that. If you got talent, use your talent. Don't use your body to have success. Use your talent to have success.
Okay. That is a word to the wise. One more question. Did you get a chance to experience the Concert of Colors this year?
Yes.
And what did you think?
It's good. It's good. It shows a diversity of music, talents, and skills.
Okay.
And that's always good. And this going back again, if you just sit in your perimeters and your areas, you need to explore all areas of music and all radio stations and TV stations. Don't look at the same channels you always look at. Look at the other channels. And before I go, I like to say this. People watch those talent shows. I don't, for various reasons. I just don't watch reality shows or talent shows. And I won't say why I want, but when you look at them, think about what's going on. And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. I feel you. But still, shout out goes to the Detroit Youth Choir. Did you get a chance to?
I missed them.
Yes, those young people. And it's not new. I first experienced them last year at the Gospel Tribute for Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul. May she continue to rest in paradise. At New Bethel, they sung Right on King Jesus, and Tabernacle featured them for a scholarship benefit concert. So please pay attention to our young people. Registration is open for the Detroit Youth Choir. Just Google them and find out ways to register your young people.
You know something, Brenda? I have to cut you short. You made me think about something. Okay. To all the artists, do not do free shows for publicity, because that promoter, that person putting the show, is getting paid.
Okay.
They should at least give you gas money and food money. Don't do free shows when you have to drive 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour to do a show. It's not cost effective. You're spending money on gas, uniforms, and food. Now, what else you may need to do that show? They should be willing at least to pay you something.
That's right. Words of wisdom from Mr. Michael Fuqua. This is Impact, the third Tuesday of each month. Join me on the station that's always making waves, 89.3.fm on your dial. I am Missy J. Yes, this is the house that Jack Swing built, is moving on up from 12 until 2 p.m. every Saturday on the station that is always making waves, bringing the jam and swing to your party. 89.3.fm on your dial. I am Missy J.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house.
Yo, G.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A college security officer called to tell me there was a drinking party on campus. The officer said there had been excessive drinking and our son was in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. He said my husband and I should come as soon as we could. I knew my son would face distractions and temptations when he went away to school. He already had unfortunate experiences with alcohol, and he was a little too good at fitting in with the crowd. I had no idea things could get so much worse so fast. A nurse suggested we attend Al-Anon family groups. Even though our son claimed his drinking was no big deal, he said he was not an alcoholic and that he could quit whenever he wanted. I didn't want to go to an Al-Anon meeting, but I'm sure glad I went. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Hey there, my name is Mike Hayball, and I run a show called The Synth Warehouse. We play music like this.
I can't stop the loneliness.
And this. And this. The Synth Warehouse, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on WHFR.FM.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
guys and dolls. You were at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror. Grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the malt shop where the jukebox is playing. The kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.